Welcome to the Small Business Edge Podcast with Brian Moran. Now here's your host, Brian Moran.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Small Business Edge Podcast. Our guest today is Annika Ahlstrom. She is an executive function and ADHD specialist, as well as a learning specialist here in New Jersey, who works with clients all over the country. And today, Annika and I are going to talk about ADHD in the workplace. And I will tell you something. I had Annika on another podcast that I do. And the one that we did there was one of the top two podcasts of the year in 2023. So obviously, it was something that really resonated with business owners. And I wanted to bring her on the Small Business Edge podcast to talk about ADHD in the workplace. So with that, I want to welcome to the Small Business Edge podcast, Annika Ahlstrom.
Thank you, Ryan. Great to be here.
I'm excited to have you. Now, I'm going to give full disclosure. You and I have worked together. You were a specialist working in a school system, and you attended one of my webinars that I did, right?
Yes.
And said, I really want to start my own business, right? Tell our listeners how that went.
So I, just a little bit about my background. I worked for about 16 years in public and private schools as a learning specialist. And I was noticing part of my job description was I would review evaluations and applications for students who were coming into our school to make sure that we had the necessary supports for the mm-hmm. student to be successful. And this is maybe 13, 14 years ago, I was seeing executive function disorder on these applications and evaluations. And
right. Can I stop you right there?
Yeah.
Explain to us what executive function disorder is.
So executive function disorder is there's part of our brain called the prefrontal cortex. And this is a part of our brain where most of our, all but one of the executive functions are housed. So it's right behind the forehead. And the brain develops from the back to the front. So it's the last part of the brain to develop. And it's responsible for skills that help us get things done. So organization, planning, time management, right? So that would explain why young people have challenges in this area because their brain is not fully developed yet. Okay. So as I saw this term, I thought, I don't know what that is. And so I better figure that out and find a specialist who I can refer these students to. Mm-hmm. And most of them also had a diagnosis of ADHD. Now, if you have a diagnosis of ADHD, you will have executive function challenges. But you can have executive function challenges without a diagnosis of ADHD. So that's kind of, I think, interesting. So most people have executive function challenges, especially in this very distracted world we live in. But back to where when I was working in the school, I started to do research. And at the time, 13, 14 years ago, I couldn't find one person in New Jersey that was doing this type of, you know, as a specialist. And so I took it upon myself, this must be something that I need to get involved with. And so I found an amazing mentor, Mary D. Sklar, and she's in Oregon. And luckily, she had online training. And so I became certified in her program, many pieces of which I use today still. And I have very good contact with her as well still. And then it just, I had it as a side business as I worked, you know, in schools for the past 16 years. And when I reached out to you, Brian, last January, it was because I'd seen one of your webinars on SCORE. And I just loved what you talked about. And I thought you were phenomenal. So I wrote you an email, not knowing that you were, you know, literally 5 miles from where I live in New Jersey, because, you know, SCORE is national. So you could have been. And there you were in Hohokus, and I was in Wyckoff. And so anyway, you were wonderful. You wrote me back and told me about Bricks or Sticks. And then I took you and Jocelyn's course, and I just loved it. And you were, of course, incredibly supportive and helpful in giving me the confidence that I needed to make the plan to take my business full time last August of 2023. And it's been such an exciting journey. I'm so grateful to have met you because I don't know that I could have done it without you, honestly. I was very fearful that I was ready. And you were like, come on, give me a break. You're so ready. And today, of course, I feel that I was certainly ready, but I needed that, you know, professional feedback from you because, of course, my friends and family think I'm great. That's what they're, you know, they're therefore, but you know, you were objective and you were able to guide me and I'm still learning and growing, and I think it's super exciting. So yeah, I'm really happy to be here today to share some of what I've learned.
Well, again, full disclosure, you had all of the natural talents and traits to be a successful business owner. I mean, I've worked with thousands of business owners, and you can really, it's easy for me to spot the ones who I look at them and I say, you were born to be a business owner. Like, you were born to run your own company. And I definitely saw that with you and said, like, this is going to be the easiest job for me ever, because, you know, you're going to hit the ground and everyone's going to love you. And sure enough, that's what happened. But let's talk now about some of the things you said, because this is a big problem, right? This is a nationwide problem, ADHD in the workforce, everything that's happened since the pandemic, and the people who struggle with ADHD having their worlds turned upside down, right? Because they like organization, they like things in order, and suddenly that didn't happen. But you said something about 13, 14 years ago, seeing this executive function term pop up and not realizing that there was anybody who could address it. Is this a recent phenomena?
Well, at that point, we found out a lot more about ADHD, certainly in the last 13 or 14 years. But executive function disorder was a new term. You know, we learned so much about the brain all the time, and I still think we just are nicking, you know, the edge of the iceberg. There's so much. And that's, I think, why I love my work so much and why I'm so passionate about it, because it's so interesting to understand that all brains are wired differently. And yeah. We all have strengths and we all have challenges. There is no perfect brain. And right. how can we support those challenges to get the best, you know, out of someone who has, you know, in this case, a diagnosis of ADHD and is incredibly creative, innovative, out of the box thinker, but has challenges with, you know, getting things done on time. So time right. management, being distracted easily, meeting deadlines, you know, those sorts of things. So, you know, it's exciting to be able to, you know, work and coach people who really, you know, we'll probably get into this more, but have been really gone through life thinking that there's something really wrong with them, right? So their self-esteem has really taken a hit. And, you know, in school, really still, I see it, teachers not really being educated to understand what ADHD means in terms of executive functioning and how that affects school. So I think, you know, I've mentioned to you on the last podcast, you know, students who have ADHD, a diagnosis of ADHD, are 3 years behind their typically developing peers. Nothing to do with intelligence, everything to do with organization, planning, and time management. So if you're going into middle school where there are all these expectations of, you know, moving from classroom to classroom, different teachers, perhaps different expectations in different classes, well, that's going to be a real issue for someone who's expected to have executive functioning of a sixth grader, but they really have the executive functioning of a third grader. Wow. So imagine going through life then, right? Because they at some point will be in the workforce and they will have gone through life working so much harder to try to keep up, knowing that they're really intelligent, testing well, you know, knowing that, but realizing there's this lag and not having the proper supports. That's really hard, because then when they get out in the workforce and they have to kind of stand on their own two feet to advocate for themselves, if they haven't been taught how to, that can be really challenging. And so what ends up happening is they often mask and they act as if they don't have these challenges, and they're having to work so much harder to keep up with, you know, their colleagues who don't have these challenges.
So do you recommend that people like put on their resume, I have ADHD, or I mean, how does somebody get a job, take a job and work in a job, or, you know, start their career? And, you know, you want that full disclosure. You want them to be able to say to their employer, I'm going to work as hard as I possibly can for you, but the way I work is going to be different than the way everybody else works.
Well, that's just it, Brian, is, you know, I have two daughters in college now. One's about to graduate. And they do not have diagnoses of ADHD, but when I talk to them about interviewing, I say, you're interviewing this place as much as they're interviewing you. So you know, having that, showing up with that kind of confidence to ask the right questions, you know, is there flexibility in your, you know, work environment? What does it look like? What kind of organization, you know, ask questions of the person that you're interviewing with to see, is this the right place for me? You know, do you disclose, would you put it on your resume? I would not recommend that, because then not everybody's going to have the same level of understanding and education about this topic. So you have to be careful, right? But you do have to do your homework. And part of the coaching that I do with adults is teaching them how to become self-aware. You know, teaching them to pause. Oftentimes, those people who have executive function challenges and ADHD will move very quickly and then afterwards go, oh, why did I say that? Or why did I do that? So building in these pause points in the day, what is called metacognition, this ability to think about my thinking, to be strategic, right? To slow down. Before this podcast, Brian and I did a stretching exercise that I told him would ground him and send him, really for personal reasons, because, you know, I get a little nervous too, being on a podcast. And so really, you know, teaching people who have these challenges, how do I slow down throughout the day? How do I build these pause points in throughout the day? And so in answer to your question, when you're talking to a potential employer, make sure that you know what you're going to say, right? Mm-hmm. Talk to a coach or talk to someone you really trust who has this understanding and come up with a plan before the interview. Or if you already are in a job and you're thinking about talking to your boss or manager, sit down and really think through, how am I going to say this? Because it's sensitive, right? You don't know how this will be received. You don't necessarily have to disclose. But if I say to you, say you're my manager, and I come to you and I say, Brian, you know, in my last job, I really noticed that when I was given, instead of one long break during the day, when I was given three short breaks, I was much more productive in my job.
Right. Well,
guess what? Everybody wants productivity, right? Bottom line, everybody wants success.
Yeah.
So if I'm coming to you and I have enough self-knowledge and self-awareness to tell you, this is how I'm going to get, you're going to get the best work out of me. Isn't that awesome? You're going to be like, great, let's work it out.
Well, and now how did, you know, that's a conversation, right? When you're in the office 5 days a week, right? Yeah. And you're being watched over, right? Where, you know, the boss or the leader can see everybody, see who's working, see who's not. What happened when the pandemic hit and everybody was sent home? What happened to the people who were working and when dealing with ADHD?
So some really interesting things happened, because of course now we were thrust back home, right? Mm-hmm. So routines and maybe perhaps something that we had, a person had set up in the workplace that worked for them, right? Now you're home, and you're home with your kids, you're home with your spouse, you're everybody. I almost liken it to like a, you know, a snow globe that you shake.
Yeah.
Pieces don't go back the same way that they were when you picked it up, right? So now everything is in disarray. And now I've got to find a new structure at home with all these other distractions, perhaps, because oftentimes if a parent has ADHD, guess what? Apple tree, the apple does not fall far from the tree. They'll probably have a child or two who also has these challenges.
So it's hereditary.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you can see this, you know, it's really important. So what was happening then was now a child is at home, perhaps having to sit in front of a screen, can't sit still, can't manage this. And now you as a parent, I mean, it's really what made my company blow up in terms of, you know, probably the only good thing that came out of this was for me personally. But, you know, it was a mess. It was a mess for those who had to go back and kind of now find a new way to work. And now that they're going back into the office, they're now having to go back and figure out a new way again. So it's all about structure. And within that structure, you know, being able to, you know, use that creative brain, that out of the box thinking, but needing to have that structure so you can meet your goals and reach your potential.
Is it something that an employer, I mean, if you notice that an employee is struggling with organization, with time management, right? Is it something that an employer can bring up to the employee? I mean, how, I don't know what the, you know, saying, look, I notice you keep missing deadlines. I notice that you're not as organized as you could be. And I happen to know that those are two, you know, indications of somebody who may have ADHD. Now, somebody who's in the workforce, maybe 23, 24, 25, what is the likelihood that they have ADHD and haven't been diagnosed with it?
Well, that can be extremely likely, right? We found the numbers went up dramatically after the pandemic because of what we just talked about.
So it wasn't identified in middle school?
No, not always. I mean, I see tons of adults who are just recently diagnosed, and big reason was the pandemic. Because they realized, wait a minute, before I was able to manage, because I was kind of used to what I had at work and I was used to this way.
Yeah.
Thing got tossed up in that snow globe. And now, you know, something's not right here. And oftentimes it's interesting because I work with families as well as, you know, adults just by themselves as individuals. But oftentimes it will be a child who will be diagnosed in school. And then the parent will go through the report and say, this is me. this is
wow.
I better go. And then they get the diagnosis. So
that's a parent who could be 30, 35, 40 years old.
50.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
How do they survive that long without? Now, OK, once you're diagnosed with ADHD, how is it treated?
Well, that depends on, you know, you can certainly, medication is an option. I wouldn't go there first. I'm pretty conservative when it comes to medication. But there are, you know, the coaching that I do is, of course, to set up structure and work, you know, within a program of skills and strategies to see, is this enough for you? Sometimes it's not. Sometimes people say, you know what, I really do want to try the medication. And for some people, it's a life changer, because their ability to focus just changes profoundly. But it's not for everyone, you know?
Yeah.
And I think you should be conservative.
And that's Adderall is one of those prescriptions that get prescribed. Yep. And so I read widely about the Adderall addiction, right?
Yep.
That it was so helpful that people suddenly became addicted to it, right? They couldn't live without it. That could be, so it's like almost the cure is worse than the disease.
Yeah. And that's what's tricky, you know, and that's why you have to have a, you know, professional who's monitoring you and helping you and really overseeing your medication, because it's not something that you can just do by yourself.
Right. Wow. Okay. I mean, this is really fascinating. Now I can see why. Yeah, obviously. I mean, I heard everything you said, and it just blows me away. On a scale from 1 to 10, how are businesses doing in terms of recognizing employees who have ADHD and setting up programs for them to get the most out of them, you know, that to help make their job easier? On a scale from 1 to 10, are we at a 2, a 5, a 7?
That's hard for me to say. I don't think I can give a score like that, but I do listen to a lot of, you know, podcasts and webinars and, you know, from different experts in the field. And for sure, we have a long way to go, because I think what happens too, maybe in the larger organizations, is you have like a checklist of things that you have to do in HR, like, oh, okay, we've done that, check. And
right.
This is a checking a box kind of thing. This is really an ongoing conversation and education that has to happen with people in management, with, you know, the manager, or the, you know, the director, and with everyone in the organization, so that people understand. Because here's the thing, you know, if you have a work environment where you know you're going to be heard and seen and you're going to be able to contribute, right, in a positive way,
yeah,
what's good for you, so you can deliver, right, and be successful at your job, you're going to do a great job because you're going to feel comfortable, right?
Yeah.
You're seen and heard, and increasing acceptance increases productivity. I think in everything that I've heard in answer to your question, we're really not doing well in this area.
So what can an employer do to accommodate employees who have ADHD?
So back to kind of the question you asked earlier, I would highly recommend that a manager or the boss does not say, you know, these three things I'm seeing, you know, that really points to ADHD. Don't diagnose. Okay.
Good point.
Don't get into that. That's not that person's place. And it never will be. The point is, I liked how you started the conversation, right? Which is, I've noticed that you have a really hard time showing up, you know, for work, you know, on time. Or I've noticed that you have a hard time meeting deadlines. Let's talk about that. You know, the door to, I recognize this. Let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
Before that frustration builds to the point where you're ready to fire the person, right?
Right.
And I would say it even should start in the job interview. Mm-hmm. Open that door to, listen, I want to know what's going to make you the most productive. I want to know what kinds of things, you know, have worked for you in the past, maybe some things that are challenges for you, and bring up things like that. Is time management, organization, planning? Don't be, and saying to the potential employee, don't be afraid to share with me. I want to know these things because I want us to have a team here where you can feel comfortable so we can problem solve together. Right. And right. Some managers and, you know, bosses are not really good at this conversation. So maybe them working with a coach, them working, HR working with someone to facilitate the start of that conversation. And that's what I do sometimes with, mm-hmm. with companies. I'll come in and I'll start the conversation because it's hard, right? If you're not used to this, my background is in this. So, you know, I feel like I'm very well versed in it and practiced in it, but not everyone is, right? You don't want to say the wrong thing, especially in today's climate, right? You don't want to say the wrong thing and be canceled.
This is true. This is very true. So when you open up that discussion to say, I've noticed that you're struggling with showing up, you know, getting work done on time, organization, does the employee know what's best for them? Like, do they know what procedures are going to work to help them with their ADHD in the workplace?
Well, sometimes, but not always, right? So I'm in the process of putting together a curriculum to offer to companies for onboarding new employees so that, you know, because guess what? The things that these people benefit from, everyone benefits from. So having an onboarding, you know, executive function workshop where we just talk about best practices for organization planning and time management. Guess what? Everybody needs that in this crazy world we live in.
Absolutely.
Everybody needs to get
better. I'll be the first one to sign up for that class, by the way.
I mean, I'll tell you, Brian, and I tell my clients, I do not have a diagnosis of ADHD, but I have executive function challenges. Every time I teach, you know, or work to coach, I don't have anything new for my clients. I get better at these things because I practice it all the time. But I have these challenges and I'm fully forthcoming with that because the more we normalize this, this is not just people with ADHD. Yes, they may have it to a more, you know, a stronger degree for sure.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Everybody stands to benefit from this. This is just good, you know, best practices.
Yeah.
So, you know, when I mentioned things that you can do in the workplace, which is, you know, have visual tools, have, you know, visual calendar, right? You know, up with, here are the meetings this, you know, month. Here are the, you know, the workshops I want you to attend. Having analog clocks up so that where you know where you are in that 12-hour cycle, not digital clocks because they don't work.
Really?
Yeah. You want this analog clock because this shows where you are in the 12-hour cycle, right? Uh-huh. Our young people are at such a disadvantage because they pick this up and they go, oh, it's 12:43, not hooking into anything. Now I can see how much time I have until I have to leave for another meeting. I can see how much time I have until the end of the workday. I can see my time, which is, you know, the name of the program that Mary D. Sklar teaches, seeing my time. You need to see these things, right? They're very visual learners, most people who have ADHD. So you need these things in front of you to keep you on track And so you don't miss things. But that's good for everybody. That's not, you know, that's not just good for a few people.
What do you do? And you may not be able to answer this. You might be, but what do you do when somebody raises their hand and say, look, I have ADHD and you know, I need some, I mean, I can really produce for the company, but I need considerations, right? To help me be more productive. What do you do about the other employees who say, why are you giving that person special treatment? You know, that all of a sudden now we're going to accept their excuses. Oh, well, I think I have ADHD then, you know, and all of a sudden everybody's raising their hand.
Well, that's a good question. And I think it probably comes up quite a bit. But what I would say is acceptance in the workplace does not mean that an employee is not accountable. It just means
great point.
It's differently, right? Mm-hmm. Same accountability. It's just they're going to be doing it a little bit differently. And I'll tell you something else. When you have a work culture where other employees who may not have these same challenges see that there's an openness and an acceptance, you know, from management in terms of, you know, I need something and so I can go and I can ask for it and we can talk about it. Guess what? Everybody's going to need something at some point, whether right. your spouse that gets sick and now you have to take a week at work from home or you're gonna need something at some point. We all do. We all need help, right?
Right.
And so the more you see that this, you know, this organization is working as a team, the happier everyone's gonna be, right? And it's not, again, I want to emphasize, it's not that they don't have the same accountability or work expectations. It's just it's gonna be done a little bit differently.
No, I think right. that's the best takeaway from our conversation right now. That whole peer-to-peer accountability.
Yeah.
Okay, I know you have ADHD. I know you are a caregiver at home to an elderly parent. I know that you're struggling with this. A lot of times, your coworkers can be the ones who step up and help you. I remember during the pandemic, I had a guy on a podcast a couple of years ago, and he was a manufacturer. He had ran a manufacturing facility, and there was a woman. They had these team meetings, and this woman was crying on the phone because she said, my son is home, and he's taking a calculus class, and I don't know the first thing about calculus. And one of the engineers said, I'll help him. We'll do Zoom sessions twice a week. I love that stuff. And all of a sudden, that became this whole, you know, I can do this. I need help with that, you know, in their company. And he said it was beautiful because he had nothing to do with it. And they all stepped up for each other. You know,
and it's so true. It's, you know, we're not just an employee. We're a person. We're a whole person with a family at home, perhaps, or, you know, a pet or whatever your situation is. You have a full life. And the more supportive we can be of that whole person, the happier everyone is. And let's come back to that's the more productive and the more successful that company is. So, you know, because that's the bottom line, right? When you have a company, you want it to be successful, but it's about making people feel comfortable, open. And I would say to employees, when you're having these conversations, come in with solutions. Don't come in with, you know what? I need this. I need that. Right. Come in. You know what? Like I said earlier, in my last job, this really worked for me and I was very productive. Do you think I could try that here? Come in with solutions. Don't come in expecting things because it's all how you phrase it. And again, if you need to meet with a coach or you need to meet with someone to talk through, how am I going to say it? Do that. Pause. Don't go in and start making demands because that doesn't feel right for people. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know what? I can see why companies would want to hire you all around the country. I really can. You know, because there's a very delicate balance in all of this because when an employer opens themselves up to this employee engagement, meaning, okay, we're going to work with the whole employee, right? The personal, the business and everything, you open yourself up to abuse, right? Yeah. Where somebody's going to play the victim every single time. Oh, I can't do this. I saw it in every single company I ever worked in. And I said, you know, we just need to get rid of them. And I said, you have four types of employees: actively engaged. You know, those are the people who run to work. They're great. We love them. They're our biggest cheerleaders. Then you have the engaged, the disengaged, and the actively disengaged. And those are the shit stirrers, right? Misery loves company, and they want to bring the whole place down with them, because they're not happy and they're not getting what they want and they can't find another job and they're stuck here. And you have to look at them and say, I can't help them. Right. And I'll do what, look, I'm going to give you the opportunity to find another job and I'll work with you. Or maybe it's that you're not in the right position.
Right.
Like, but more than the employer doing that, you'd want the other employees to do that. Look, why are you always 7 days of rain when you come into the office? You know, we're all working here together. We're all trying to get stuff done. Why are you always stirring the pot? Yeah. And do it in a way genuine and sincere, right? And to say, like, can you change? If what would make you happy in this company? And it's funny, we started out with ADHD here and recognizing that we're all human. And it's amazing how all of a sudden here we are talking about company culture.
Yeah.
And how ADHD, somebody being recognized with that in a corporate situation, can actually be a silver lining.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's also interesting because oftentimes, those people who have the ADHD diagnosis are incredibly motivated and incredibly have an eye for detail. Once they, you know, it's not, people think they can't focus. They can hyper focus if they're interested in something, right? An idea they're, you know, fired up about. They can be incredibly detail oriented and focused. It's the problem when they become too hyper-focused and they miss the meeting, or they miss, you know, it's keeping them on track and getting them to manage all of it. But they have incredible energy. They're often very optimistic people. So, you know, like you're saying, that's not really the person that you're describing there. So I think giving the tools to not only the employer, but the employee. And that's where I think HR, if you have, you know, an organization that's large enough to have an HR component, you know, can really be, you know, huge in talking to the employee and the employer, because they both have to, you know, approach this from a solutions oriented perspective. Not right. I'm gonna come in and moan about what I can't do. No. Come in with solutions. Come in with, I think this might work for me and I could be really good. You know, that's how you want to approach it. And then you're much more likely to get that standing desk, or at least have, you know, some opportunity to get closer to what you need. But you don't want to come down, you know, come in as a negative person, because that's nobody's going to want that.
Right. Right. Man. Now to my listeners, now you can see why I told her, like, you will have no problem opening your own business. Right. It's true. I mean, I can see why the schools love you, and I can see why families love you, and I can see why companies love you. Right.
I so wish my father was here to hear those words. He passed away a couple of years ago, but he was a big businessman and he would have been so proud to know, you know, this wasn't the track I was on when he passed away. So he would be very proud. I'm sure he's listening from heaven somewhere.
He is. I have no doubt he is. In fact, he may be whispering in your ear a little bit. Annika, you got this, right? So that voice you hear when you don't know where it's coming from, rest assured that it's probably your dad.
Yeah, thanks.
Sure. All right. I know my listeners would beat me up and throw tomatoes if I didn't ask this last question. Anybody who wants to reach out to you to talk about, well, you working with their company, I know you got a busy schedule, but what's the best way for people to connect with you if they have questions or want to talk?
So the best way is to go to my website, www.timewise.life.
Timewise, TIMEWISE.life, LIFE.
Yeah. Okay. And all my information is on there. I would be happy to, speak about all of this, ADHD, executive functioning, group culture in the work environment, and just how I can be an asset to any.
You should speak at conferences. Thanks. You know what? You would be a great speaker at events, really.
Thank you.
Where you get up and you just talk about, because ADHD is just one of the many, many issues in the workplace, right? I mean, it runs the gamut, of course. But that, like I said, what I learned from today is that can be a real silver lining, in developing a very positive, holistic culture in your business where we're all working together. We're all rowing in the same direction at the same pace. And I got your back, you got my back, I'll help you. And really it can bring teams together.
I think so. Absolutely.
Fantastic. Annika, thank you so much for being on our podcast today. Loved having you. Love the message that you have. I imagine your middle school kids love you too, right?
Well, I love them. They teach me much more than I taught them.
Wow. Back in the day with me, it would be some old bald guy, with, this grimacing face saying, get your act together.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we're moving on from those days.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much. This has been another episode of the Small Business Edge podcast. You've been listening to Annika Ahlstrom, who is an executive function and ADHD specialist, as well as a learning specialist. She works with schools, with families, with companies, and she is fantastic. You get my 5-star recommendation. To my listeners, I hope that you found this entertaining and enjoyable and educational, and that you have your takeaways from it, and give me your feedback like you always do. And let us know what else you'd like us to cover on the Small Business Edge podcast, and we'll do it for you in a future episode. Until then, everybody, have a great day, and we'll see you next week on another episode. Take care.
You've been listening to the Small Business Edge podcast with Brian Moran. Please visit our website, smallbusinessedge.com, for a listing of future podcasts.